Welcome to Bethany on this second Sunday in Advent. I'm John Leary, a member of the Bethany community. We are so glad you decided to worship with us today. Welcome to you if you are hopeful or weary or a little bit of each, certain, doubtful, or a little bit of each, fearful or peaceful, or a little bit of each, black or brown, white, or a little bit of each. Quietly waiting in the dark night of winter, restlessly searching for the light, or a little bit of each, we welcome you all. This is a place to remember. I am a child of God, holy and beloved. Please say that again with me. I am a child of God, holy and beloved. We come just as we are to this season of holy waiting. All are welcome. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Let us worship together.
I invite you now to take a moment to quiet yourself as we prepare for our prayer of confession and God's assurance of forgiveness. If you hear nothing else this morning, this is what is most important. You are a child of God, holy and beloved. Nothing at all can take that identity from you. When we say this, we also mean that each and every person is a child of God. Our task as a family of faith is to honor the image of God in ourselves and in each other. In the Christian tradition, when we confess our sin, we are simply looking honestly at what gets in the way of honoring that sacred identity in ourselves and in others. Therefore, what gets in the way we seek to know the love of God that is being born in us all the time. I invite you now to listen as I offer this brief prayer of confession. Before God, with the people of God, together we confess our brokenness to the ways that we have wounded our lives, the lives of others, and the life of your world. Together we remember and live in the deep assurance of our faith that God will forgive us, that Christ will renew us, and that Spirit will enable us to grow in love. Amen. Dear friends, family of God, this is the good news. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Go into the world and live boldly as one who follows the Lord. Amen.
And now, as community of friends and family gather in spirit to nourish our faith together and give witness to the always present love of God, I offer you the peace of Christ. Please greet one another with the peace and love that God's gift to us is given this day. Take a moment, if you will, to write your blessings in the comment section and to check in with your community.
Today we light the candle of peace.
This light too must break great darkness.
In a time of uncertainty, as we live through a global pandemic, in a time where many countries live with war and hunger,
we are a people of peace.
In a time when we are acknowledging that things like the color of our own skin still divide people and cause hurt and fear,
We are a people of peace.
In a time when people so seldom find peace within themselves, we await the coming of the Prince of Peace. We light a candle called peace.
We are a people of peace. We yearn for peace that is not just the absence of war and conflict, but peace that is the fullness of blessing for all. That is the peace for which we dare to hope. In the name of the Christ child born so long ago, we light the candle of peace. We are a people of peace.
Hi, Bethany. Happy Sunday. I'm Miss Kayana, if you don't know me. This is my oldest daughter, Taya, and my youngest daughter, Lucy. And today we're going to talk about peace. What does it mean to be peaceful or have peace?
Like quiet.
Like quiet. That's a good time
peace
of peace.
Is like no fighting at all, mm-hmm. and no arguments, mm-hmm. and usually not very loud noises.
That's true. And today on Advent, we light a candle and we think about being full of peace.
You mean like those candles we have on that train?
Yeah, our Advent candles. And we light a candle for peace. And I have a great story this week. It's called A Room for a Little One. And I've been looking forward to reading it this year with you, so I'm excited. And it's a story of the birth of Jesus from the animal's perspective.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah. It was a cold winter's night. Kind Ox lay in his stable, close to the side of the inn. Old Dog came by. He stopped and looked into the stable. "I need somewhere to rest," said Old Dog. "Come inside," Kind Ox said. "There's always room for a little one here." Old Dog came in and lay down in the straw. He nestled close to Kind Ox, sharing the warmth of his stable.
That's nice of Kind Ox. Well, he's a kind of.
Stray Cat peered in. She saw Old Dog and she stopped. Stray Cat arched her back and her fur bristled. "I'll not chase you," said Old Dog. "Come inside," Kind Ox said. "There's always room for a little one here." Stray Cat came into the stable. She curled up in the straw, close to the friend she had found, purring and twitching her tail. Small Mouse stopped at the door of the stable. She saw Stray Cat and she quivered with fear. "You're safe here. I won't harm you," said Stray Cat. "Come inside," Kind Ox said. "There's always room for a little one here." Small Mouse scurried in. She nestled down warm in the straw in the peace of the stable. What's everyone doing in the stable?
They're all sleeping.
Yeah, they're all sleeping.
It must be cold.
Do you know what a stable is, Lucy?
Yes.
What is it?
It's a place where animals can come in and sleep in cozy stables.
Yeah, that's where the animals live on the farm. Then Tired Donkey came. Joseph led him along. Mary rode on Tired Donkey's back. Joseph was cold and Mary was weary, but there was no room left at the inn. An inn is like the hotel. Who are Joseph and Mary, do you know? No. Taya, do you know who Joseph and Mary are?
Yeah.
Who are they?
They are the ones who Mary technically gave birth to Jesus. The manger.
"Where will my baby be born?" asked Mary. "Come inside," Kind Ox called to Tired Donkey. "There's always room for a little one here." Tired Donkey brought Mary into the stable. Joseph made her a warm bed in the straw to save her from the cold of the night.
"What about the baby?"
"She's pregnant with the baby. The baby's not born." And so Jesus was born with the animals around him. Kind Ox, Old Dog, Stray Cat, Small Mouse, and Tired Donkey all welcomed him to the warmth of their stable. That cold winter's night, beneath the stars' light, a little one came for the world. I like that story because it reminds us that there's always room for one more, and that sometimes it's good to put aside our natural desires to dislike one another or fight, like the cat and the dog and the mouse, and to and try to be welcoming. And so I pray that we can all be a little bit more welcoming this week and maybe have a week filled with peace. I can't wait to see you again next week. Happy Sunday. Bye.
Listen to the word which God has spoken. Listen to the one who is close at hand. Listen to the voice behind creation. Listen even if you don't understand. Listen to the word which God has spoken. Listen to the one who is close at hand. Listen to the voice behind creation. Listen even if you don't understand.
Members of the Bethany family and friends, I've been awaiting this day for well over a month. As most of you probably know, during this month, we are bringing back people to preach in our church who have been part of our family. And we are especially pleased that the second Sunday in Advent, we are having the Reverend Jerry Van Marter to preach to us today. As many of you know, he is the son of Bethany. Some of his teachers remember him as one of the most troublesome young people that they ever had in their classes. He's also the son of Edna and Bob. The Van Marter family was very active and involved in the life of this church for so many years. Jerry's been a pastor and a member of the staff of the General Assembly, serving in the department dealing with communications, and covered General Assembly after General Assembly after General Assembly. He's also a very active presbyter, and certainly is forever a friend of Bethany. To the best of my knowledge, each time he comes to the west coast of the United States, he somehow finds a way of getting back to Bethany to visit us and to be with us. So it's my pleasure to introduce to you the Reverend Jerry Van Marter, child of this church and ordained Presbyterian pastor, Jerry Van Marter.
Greetings, Bethany family, and speaking to you from the sanctuary of John Knox Presbyterian Church in Louisville, Kentucky, where I've lived and worked since 1988. I want to express my appreciation to Ruling Elder George Street here at John Knox, who has made it possible for me to record this sermon for you. And today, while I'm delivering this sermon, my dear friends Gary and Arlene Torrens are sitting in the empty pews at John Knox, so I at least have a semblance of the congregation, so thanks to them as well. I don't know how many of you were around 74 years ago when I was baptized at Bethany Church. I don't know how many of you were around 60 years ago when I was confirmed here at Bethany Church. I don't know how many of you were around 50 years ago when I was ordained to the ministry here at Bethany Church. And I pray fervently, fervently, that none of you were around, or at least don't remember, the Sunday 58 years ago when I tried to cram everything I'd learned in seminary to that date into a 45-minute sermon that even left me asleep in the pulpit. If you were there that day here at Bethany, thanks for coming back. Our scripture lesson for this morning is a familiar one from the prophet Isaiah, reading in the 40th chapter. Listen for the word of God. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry?" All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings, lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them into his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. The word of the Lord for the people of God. One of the high points of my 50 years of ministry in the Presbyterian Church USA was the half hour I spent with Fred Rogers, who we all know and remember as Mr. Rogers. It was the fall of 1997. My wife Eva Stimson, who was editor of Presbyterians Today magazine at the time, interviewed Mr. Rogers, and after the interview, Fred insisted on spending some time with our six-year-old twins, Luke and Rachel. For a half hour, I sat quietly, amazed, as Mr. Rogers held these two squirmers spellbound with his undivided attention to them. I'll never forget that time. Mr. Rogers was always a voice of calm and encouragement in difficult times, which were frequent over the course of his 40 years presiding over his neighborhood. One of his pieces of advice to the nation's children has stuck with me. When faced with unmitigated disaster, Fred Rogers always counseled, look for the helpers. Look for the helpers. Throughout the years since that encounter, I have repeated Mr. Rogers' advice to countless others, children and adults. Look for the helpers. Oh, how the people of Judah in the 6th century BC could have used Mr. Rogers. As a result of the Babylonian invasion earlier in the century, a large segment of the population now lived as either exiles or refugees, huddled on the border, waiting to return to their country and some sense of normalcy. Those who returned found their land, homes, and businesses, and the temple in Jerusalem destroyed. Life was nothing like they had previously known it. And the people were in despair. They had been taught that Israel was chosen by a loving God who would care for all their needs. But it seemed to them that God's love had turned to anger. Their thinking went something like this: God no longer loves us. God is punishing us for our sinfulness. Or worse, God doesn't care about us anymore. Or even worse than that, maybe God is powerless to withstand the onslaughts of the Babylonians and their minions. Life no longer had a center, but had come to resemble the chaos that the poet William Butler Yeats described like this: things fall apart, the center cannot hold, mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. Isaiah's task then was to preserve the community of Israel from the cynicism and despair that leads to the conviction that life is driven by arbitrary forces rather than a loving God who remains true to a universal plan of justice. Sound familiar? So what is Isaiah's message? Many have interpreted today's lesson from Isaiah 40 as reassuring words that God still loves God's people. But who is going to believe that message with their world turned completely upside down? So I get Isaiah goes Mr. Rogers on. The words of Isaiah 40 are written in the plural imperative. The plural imperative. Isaiah's seemingly consoling words, "Comfort, comfort ye my people," are not, "I'll make it all better." The plural imperative case of the Hebrew means these words accurately translate to, "You must comfort my people. You must speak tenderly to those who are hurting and oppressed and hopeless and displaced and impoverished by this chaos around us. You must prepare the way of the Lord." And in verse 5, Isaiah says, "Then and only then will the glory of the Lord be revealed." This is a ringing call to action, not a pat on the head while Isaiah kisses all the boo-boos and makes them better. "Get you up to a high mountain," he says. "Lift up your voice. Do not be afraid. Look for the helpers." But Isaiah and Mr. Rogers say, "You are the helpers. If you do the things I command," Isaiah says in verses 10 and 11, "then the Lord comes with might and rules. He will feed his flock and gather the lambs and carry them safely." This is the covenant between God and God's people. Advent is not a passive period of waiting. Let me say that again. Advent is not a passive period of waiting. Advent is an active period of preparing for the Christ. The divine imperative is that we be faithful. If we are faithful to God, then God will be faithful to us. We are the helpers, my friends. Advent is up to us. May it be so. Amen.
Prepare in the desert a highway.
If you're new to the Bethany community, welcome to our time of worship together. We, of course, would like to get to know you and welcome you into the life of this vibrant community of faith. Bethany is a group of people that prays for each other, that cares for our neighbors and the wider world. We love to ask questions, and we seek to live out the love of God in our daily lives. If you'd like to know more about the church and how to get involved, you can email Katie at Bethany at Presbytery, excuse me, BethanyPressTacoma@gmail.com, or message us on Facebook. We really do look forward to hearing from you. Thank you on behalf of the leadership of this congregation for the many ways that you continue to give to the life of this community. Your generosity during this time of COVID and our quarantine has been remarkable, and we are truly grateful. Because of your gifts, we've been able to continue all of our ministry and mission as a congregation. Thank you for what you've donated online and that you've given to us through direct deposits, and even if you've given one time or have given recurring on gifts, we are truly grateful. If you normally write checks, they can be mailed to the church. We simply ask that you take time to consider what you feel called upon to give to the ministry of this congregation at this particular time. As we gather our hearts and minds in prayer, I would like to invite you to write your prayer requests on the screen, where you are able to do that in the comments section during this song of prayer that we will hear in just a moment. Think about not only what are your sorrows and fears this week, but what is also giving you joy and what is giving you life. Let us now listen to Gwen's piano piece as we pull together the prayers of this community. Thank you. praise and thank you, O God, that you have fed us with your word. We're grateful for the gifts that you have bestowed upon us, and we're mindful of our relationship to the saints of all ages, and we offer our prayers for all people. O God of compassion, help us to remember before you the poor, the afflicted, the sick, and the dying, prisoners, and all who are lonely. Help us to remember as well the victims of war and injustice and inhumanity. God of providence, you hold the destiny of all nations in your hand. We pray for our country. Inspire the hearts and minds of our leaders, that they, together with all our nation, may first seek your kingdom and righteousness, so that order and liberty and peace may dwell in your people. We pray as well for all nations and peoples. Take away the mistrust and the lack of understanding that divide our countries, and increase in us the recognition that we are indeed all your children. O Savior God, look upon your church as we struggle here on this earth. Have mercy on us and our weakness, and bring to an end the unhappy divisions that divide your church. Scatter our fears. Look also upon the ministry of this congregation and your entire church. Increase our courage. Strengthen our faith. Inspire our witness to all people, even to the ends of the earth. And author of grace and of God's love, send your Holy Spirit blessing to your children here present at this time. Keep our hearts and thoughts in Jesus Christ, your Son, our only Savior, who has taught us together to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Every Sunday morning, we hear the word welcome. Welcome. John, our worship leader today, welcomed all of you who were from wherever you are worshiping. All are welcome. And he reminded us that we are children of God, holy and beloved. The invitation is to sit back and open ourselves to God's presence in our daily lives, to live in God's love, spreading the good news. There's another invitation, an invitation from Jesus, the Prince of Peace. It is in the invitation to the table. Again, all are welcome. Welcome at the table. These elements on the table have been shared through the centuries and in a variety of different ways. They serve to prepare the way, for God's presence. The invitation comes to each of us, and to all of us. Yours as we stand at the table you set, yours as we eat the bread our hearts can't forget. These are the signs of your life with us yet. We are yours, we are yours. Take our bread, we ask you. Take our hearts, we love you. Take our lives. Oh, Father, we are yours. We are yours. Let us pray. O Holy One, we give you thanks. Thanks for inviting us to the table. We give you thanks for the elements that remind us of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. We come, humbled as we are, imperfect as we are, seeking peace in Christ's name. Amen. Centuries ago, Jesus gathered his friends around a table to share a last meal. He took from the table the common loaf of bread. After he had blessed it and given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat. For this is my body given for you. As often as you eat of it, remember me." As the meal drew to a close, Jesus took the common cup. And after he had given thanks, he said, "Take and drink, for this is the new covenant poured out in my blood. As often as you drink of it, remember me." The Apostle Paul adds, "As often as you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you share again in the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You proclaim that he will be coming again." Let us partake. Let us pray. What a fellowship is ours about the Lord's table, O God. Filled with your Spirit, let us rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, living in harmony with one another. So far as it depends upon us, help us to live peaceably with all.
Community announcements. Bethany is an active community of faith, even in these difficult and different times. There are still groups meeting virtually, and there are still ways for you to be involved. So we invite you to check out our weekly digital newsletter. This is posted on our Facebook page each and every week. But you can also sign up for our email list on our website or by contacting Katie in the church office. Bible studies are being held via Zoom on Monday evenings at 7 p.m. and Tuesday morning at 10:30. If you would like to join either of these groups, again, please email the church office and Katie will get you on the mailing list. Also, we invite you to our Zoom coffee hour immediately following this worship today. There is a link in the description of this video to get to the meeting. We hope you can pop in and say hi.
Family and friends, go out into the world in peace. Render no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Love and honor everyone, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit that has been given to you.
Go into the world and trust that this is the heart of the matter. God in Jesus Christ is with us no matter what. No matter what. Go ye now in peace and know that the love of God will guide you. Feel God's presence